Good morning. Welcome to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries, welcoming you again to a program. Glad you can make it. Once again, we pray that the program's been a blessing to you. We know it's sure a blessing to us to be able to come to you each day and share some thoughts and some scripture and try to help to better educate some folks on some of the falsehoods that's going on out there in the world. We want to continue on, finish up today about the little leaven, that I was talking about. We were talking about how if someone's doctrines, pretty much match up with the Apostles' Creed, then we need to believe that those people are good and faithful servants of the Lord. And I differ from that. I don't believe that. I believe that they can say anything. They can preach that, and they do preach that. A lot of them will preach that very thing, that Jesus is the way to heaven. He's the only way. But then they go on and add to. And then by adding to, they slowly but surely, create an atmosphere and a belief system that's totally different than what it should have been and what it started out to be. It's like in 1 Corinthians 5, it says, as ye are, and five, well, let's just read it from the front. Well, the verse 2 says, and ye are puffed up and have not, rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For verily I say unto you, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. And it goes, on and on and talks about this. Then we read down here a little bit further, and we see that it says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorifying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? And we've heard this before. It's kind of like one bad apple spoils a whole bushel. And that's what happens. It says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the peace, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And see, that's what I contend, is that it takes nothing to write out what your doctrinal statement is for your ministry. It doesn't take anything special to write that out and say, this is what we believe. And then these preachers, they can get up there and they can preach some of this truth that's right out of the Bible, and it is the truth, and there's no doubt about it. But then when they start taking the truth and putting little bits, just subtle. Now here's where I think the article misses the point. These guys that people like me say that some of these people are false teachers and preaching false teachings, we believe it because they take a little bitty bit of falsehood. They take a little bit of sourdough and leavened dough and put it with the unleavened, so small of an amount that they don't notice it at first. See, they teach a little thing, and then they teach another little thing, and then another little thing. And there's people, I know there's people that really, really get on me and get upset when I mention Joel Osteen's name. And I'm sorry for that, in the essence that I hate to be upsetting people. I don't like to upset people. But I will say that Joel Osteen preaches the love gospel. He teaches self-help. He works and preaches on your what am I wanting to say? maybe you don't, because I don't know it either, I suppose. But anyway, he preaches that everything's about love. Oh, and self-esteem. That's what I was trying to think of. I'm so sorry. He teaches on how to get your own self-esteem going, and that you're a winner, you're a champion, and your best life, you know, now, and you know, all these kinds of things he teaches these people, and there's so much of it that is not true. This is not supposed to be your best life now. My best life will come when I go to heaven to be with my Lord and Savior. That's my best life. My best life now, if this is the best you got, folks, why, it's sad, isn't it? I don't care how much money you got and how beautiful of a house you got and how many trips you can take. If this is the best we got, well, that's sad. But I know better, because the Bible said so, and the Lord said in the Bible, it's His Word, that heaven is waiting for us, and it's something that we can't even, it's beyond our comprehension how wonderful it's going to be. That's going to be my best life. So see, even though Joel will say that this is the way they believe, and others like him will say that, they start preaching little things that are contrary to the Word of God, to where after a while the people forget what the true teaching of the Word is, and they only listen to what the preacher says, and the preacher never preaches about anything except self-help. Joyce Meyer is another one. She's a self-help guru. She's not a minister of the gospel. She's a self-help guru. Just like Joel Osteen is a self-help guru. That's all them guys are about. They're not about anything else. They're not ministers of the gospel. They're self-help gurus. And they would hate it to be called a guru, but that's what they are. These guys got like a cult following. It's unbelievable. I get emails all the time from women saying, Joyce Meyer has helped me in so many ways to do this and to do that and to do this and to do that. And throughout the whole email, it's all about me. Me, 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 me. I this, me this. I can now do this. I feel this way now, and I get this, and I got that, and I can do this now, and just on and on and on about how wonderful they are. Well, you know, that's good. That's great. You want to be a self-help guru, then you just go out and be one, Joyce. But don't use the pulpit to play your games with these people, and now you're filthy rich, and you live like a queen, and you claim that it's all supposed to be that way, because after all, you're God's child, and you deserve it. And that's what, you won't believe how many people tell me in emails, women and a few men, but mostly women, that Joyce deserves to have all the wonderful things she's got because she's had a hard life and she worked hard for the ministry, and she deserves to have everything that she's got plus more. And so she'll go overseas and give a few $1,000 and preach over there and help feed some kids for a little while, and then come back home and is, you know, millionaire. Give me a break. Give me a stinking break. But that's what I think is missing in this article, folks. I truly believe that you cannot just look at their doctrine that they believe, that they say they believe, and call it good and leave it at that. You have to see everything that these people are preaching, and that's where I think they screw up. These guys, I think, are being misled all of a sudden. And it's sad, because a little leaven does, you know, leaveneth the whole lump. And, you know, one bad apple does screw up the whole barrel, as long as that bad apple's in there. But if you purge it out, you can save the rest of the apples. You see? They don't understand that. You cannot just say that's all it is. This guy goes on to say, understand that I am not saying we shouldn't write on and point out things we disagree about. But frankly, it's disgusting to see how those who hold to the extremes on these three, the other assorted issues, treat one another. Those who claim that the gifts and the working of the Holy Spirit have ceased, they claim the charismatics are only into experiences, and conversely, the charismatics look down their somewhat super spiritual noses at the cessationists as if they are lacking something. Believers in a pre-trib rapture often, you know, act as though people who see the catching away of the church as a post-trib event are nearly cultists, and vice versa. And if you don't see eternal security, predestination, and election in the specific way that either hardcore Calvinists or their antithesis of Wesleyans do, then they question your salvation. I have never questioned anybody's salvation over, you know, once saved, always saved, as far as if someone's truly saved. But let me tell you something. If anybody thinks that eternal security, the eternal security, once saved, always saved, doctrine is not serious, then there's something wrong. Because I'm telling you what, eternal security is one of the arguments that we argue about that's very serious. I believe that you can lose your salvation if you want to walk away from God, that God gave you the free will to do so. I do not believe that God for one second said, you accept my son as your savior, and no matter what you do the rest of your life, I will let you go to heaven. I do not believe that for one second. And there's multiple verses that say that agree with what I'm saying, that back up what I'm saying. You know, you have got to understand that if someone's preaching something contrary to the Bible, not just to the main doctrine, but contrary to the Bible, then you have to point it out. And if you don't point these things out, folks, and these guys continue on, these people are going to start being led down the wrong path. And look how many people. Jim Jones started out preaching the Bible to these folks, and after a while, they got to believe in everything Jim Jones said because he taught them little at a time to trust him. Just like Joel Osteen says, hold up your Bible. And when you hold up your Bible, what does he repeat? Something like, I am going to hear the word of God today, the true word or something like that, and I'm going to be changed and blah, 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 blah. That's wonderful. But what he's saying to these people is they get it in their mind by saying this day, week after week after week after week, that no matter what comes out of that pulpit, it's the truth. And then they quit questioning anything he says. And that's wrong. That's where it's wrong. You cannot just accept anything a preacher says to you out of the pulpit as being gospel unless you check it yourself. Or if he says something and you already know it, then that's different. But you can't, if it's something you don't know, you've got to check it against the Word of God, not just accept it as truth because that guy said so. And that's where these people, I believe, are lacking. I just do not agree with this article. I just do not believe it. I believe that these preachers can very easily start deceiving people, misleading people, get them off track, all because, like I said, they start following the preacher. They start believing everything the preacher says, no matter what. And they quit following God, and they quit checking what the preacher says against the Word of God. And you have to be a good Berean. You have to discern the truth from the false. And one of the best ways to do that is to take what was told and weigh it against Scripture, and if it don't balance out, throw it away. Discard it. And if the preacher keeps preaching garbage that doesn't balance with the Word of God, then you need to talk to the preacher, talk to the board, and say, hey, you know, here's what I'm seeing. Am I wrong? And let everybody sit down and talk about it and make a decision and test it against the Word. It won't be hard to figure out, you know, what's right and wrong. And if the guy's preaching something that's contrary to the Word, then people should realize it, and they got to realize it if they're any kind of Christians at all, and then they can change things and work it out. But you got to be a good Berean. You can't just take a little piece and say good enough. All right, listen, I got to go. Man, I tell you, the week went by so fast. God bless each one of you. We love you. Join us on the internet, would you? We'll see you now. Bye-bye.
We pray these programs have been a blessing to you and they've taught you something. We feel that, you know, we're trying hard to do what the Lord has led us to do, and we pray that and hope and pray that it has been accomplished in these programs. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, or would like to, you know, comment on the programs or send any donations to the ministry, please write us at Forgotten Word Ministries, P.O. Box 315, Camp Point, Illinois, 62320. That's Camp Point, CAMPPOINT, two different words, Illinois, 62320. God bless you.